Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlow. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
Good morning. I went to Italy. No, my God. I went to France and England for today's names, and we have Alice and Lily.
Okay.
Guess which one is France?
Lillian.
No.
Okay.
Alice. And it's actually something like Alais. A-L-A-I-S.
Alice?
Yeah. What did I say?
Alais.
You know, if anybody knew that my mother was very French and it was her first language, they would be so upset with me.
I think French could just be upset with you.
So upset. Okay, so those are our names. And Alice is the person who's crossed over, and Lily is the client. Lily asks for medium. She asks for her sister. She says it's her sister. She says her name. And then she just simply says to me, I'd like to hear anything. And I'm just open to everything, Karen. And which is true. She was very open to everything. But she also had specific things that she wanted her sister to say, but didn't want to say it, didn't want to ask the questions. And that kind of permeated throughout the entire session, that she just kept waiting for Alice to do all of the offering and to meet all of her needs without having to say anything, to see partly if Alice would do it and if I could be accurate enough to do it. So I jump in and I say to Alice, you know, what do you want to tell your sister? And she says, well, I want to go right back to before she was born. And I want to say, first of all, that I'm the oldest. Lily is one of the younger children, and that there are a lot of children in our family. I think there was something like 12 kids. And I said, oh, holy crumb. Did your mom want them? And she goes, oh, that's part of the story. And I said, because that's really going to dictate what kind of life these children have. And Alice says to me, you've jumped way ahead. You have to slow yourself down. And I said to her, oh, okay. She goes, I appreciate who you are and your own background to understand that. And that's Karen. But I need to go slower with Lily.
That's also just psychology.
Oh, okay. Oh, geez, Kelly, go on.
I'm not saying it's a rule by any means, but you can't honestly tell me that any woman wants to birth 12 children. And if she wanted to, I would well imagine there were some health issues going on, mental health issues going on about needing to be needed or needing to be a good woman according to a belief system. Because who wants 12 children? Who wants that on the body? Who wants that responsibility? Who wants that lifestyle?
And genuinely. Financial.
And I mean what it fully entails.
Yeah.
I don't mean when you're in a honeymoon state of, I just have so much love to give, I want another baby.
Yeah.
I'm talking about genuinely wanting everything that comes with another child.
Right. And I think a lot of people could sit here and listen and be very upset and go, oh my God, I had 12 children. I had 15. Mm-hmm. I had 20.
Tell me how good your mental health is. And tell me how good your quality of relationships are.
Well, and tell us what the toll was on your body.
Life.
Yeah, for any woman to carry that many pregnancies on your teeth, on your...
I don't know why you're fixating on the physical.
Oh, I'm just saying...
I think that's really interesting.
No, I'm just saying that it's many things. I don't want to be fixating on anything. I'm saying that I think there are multiple reasons that it's difficult biologically, emotionally, psychologically, which is what you're trying to point out, relationship-wise, that there is a cost to having every child. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine this could stir up a lot of conversation.
Good.
And that's good. That's exactly what we want to do.
I think it should stir up conversation if you're considering having one child.
Right.
Or two children.
Yes.
Like, never mind 12. I believe probably gone are the days that it's 12 here in North America potentially. But like, even if you're considering having one child by adoption.
Well, and what comes out for Allison Lily is important because it has to do with the fact that their mother is raised in religion. And I'm not going to say what religion on purpose, although I don't remember. I didn't write it down in the notes. Even when I spoke to Lily afterwards to prepare the podcast, I was going to say the brand of religion. Holy shit. The type of religion did not come up. It just came up that she was raised religious. That's how it was worded. And that it was a belief within the religion to be against any kind of birth control. And that no matter what the cost was to any woman, that for any of those reasons you and I just brought up, that they were that every single woman was going to have as many children as she was just going to have, because it was God that chose it. And I'll leave it at that because
as will I.
Yeah, because I don't want people to think I'm picking on one particular religion. I don't even know which one it was. So this comes up in the session that it's necessary for Alice, or she feels that it's necessary for Lily to hear this about mom, that mom felt obligated and I'll say trapped, but didn't understand the feeling trapped by the religion. She did not want to acknowledge the religion made her feel that she was in a trap. So she had to suppress anger. And this is key because the suppressed anger comes out sideways on the children, on the husband, not in society, because she wants society to think she's a good mother, that she's a good wife, that she's a good person, that she's a good person to show up at the spiritual or religious events, the religious events. And she needs to be seen in a certain light. So Alice begins the session by saying this about mom, and Lily looks at me blankly and goes, okay. And I said, are you okay? Do you want me to do a check-in with you, Lily? And she goes, oh, thank you. She says, I appreciate the check-in. She says, and I don't know where my sister's going with this. I don't even know if it's true. She says, but I did say go open. And I meant it. So I'm here to listen. She says, so continue. And I think that's really important for people to hear right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's owning it.
Yes. And she's not turning it into an attack on me that I don't have her sister. I don't have her sister, Alice. She's just simply saying, can't totally place all of this yet. I'm not digesting it. It doesn't seem to fit because it's not the way that I saw mom or the way that I see life. And Alice points that out and says, Lily, you couldn't afford to see mom. You couldn't afford to. And Lily goes, I don't even know what that means. She goes, could you please ask Alice to explain what she means, I couldn't afford to see life? And so Alice explains, being the oldest, that she saw the truth of who her mother was before all the other children did, because she got to be one of the, when she's raised as the first child, everything's, what do you call that? Roses and buttercups or something?
Sure.
I don't know what the expression is.
There's many. I think you just usually blend too.
But like everything's lovely. Everything's wonderful. There's one child. It's hard. It's difficult. But geez, it's just one. I'll get through this and I have to, because there's going to be more children if God wills it, right? Not if we take choices around it, but if God wills it. So I have to enjoy this. So the mom is trying to figure out how to enjoy it with the first child. And so we'll say Alice is lucky in the story because she gets the best version that mom can possibly create.
Okay, so far. You ask any oldest daughter in particular if they are the lucky ones. Ask Taylor Swift.
Anyway. Oh, I agree with you. I completely agree with Taylor Swift. I'm not saying that it's true. I'm saying this is how Alice is telling the story, that she gets the better version of mom. We're not saying it's a healthy one. We're not saying it's a great one. Mm-hmm. We're not saying it's good. We're saying it's the best that mom thinks that she can offer, because she's not being allowed and she's not choosing, we'll say both, to live her life outside of those constructs of the grooming. And then Alice explains that those first years in childhood where other siblings are born before Alice even comes along, and where there's already a change in mom with more and more children. Because I think, if I remember correctly, Alice is like in the last two or three of the children. Lily is in the last two or three. And so there's like 10 kids born before her, right? And so Alice is growing up, seeing the change in mom, the anger in mom, and what the anger means. And the anger then turns into, I need Alice to parent. I need help. So Alice is going to change diapers and feed children and cook and clean. And she's going to do all the things because I need another me.
Okay, the lyric goes, every eldest daughter was the first lamb to the slaughter.
Oh, yeah. You got it.
So we all dressed up as wolves and we looked fire.
Wow, Kelly. Like, yeah, okay, got it.
Yeah. Just, I think that paints a really important picture of what you experience in life.
Yes.
Right? Like, to open up some empathy for whatever Alice is about to throw at us in this session here.
Yeah.
And anyway, go on.
So as time goes on, Alice really becomes the maid to her parents. She very much becomes the cook. She becomes all the people someone with money can hire. Mm-hmm. So she's in charge of, I'll just say things like snow removal as jobs, maid, cook, grocery shopper, errand runner, babysitter, everything, right? And then some people are going to listen to this and go, yeah, that's all the things that a mom does. That's right.
Which is also not right.
That's right. Nothing about any of this is okay. Mm-hmm. Nothing about any of it, because it's all under a patriarchy. Mm-hmm. So none of it is okay, because all of the women in this situation, in this family, are all under that same patriarchy. Every single one of them, including mom. Now, Alice explains then that she explains her own life to her sister. She says, eventually, as I got into teenage years, the workload got heavier and heavier because I'm also in school. I'm trying to get into colleges. I think at the time she wasn't really like geared or was talking about going to university, but there was conversation around that with Lily to kind of help her understand Alice's decisions in life, giving her sister the reasons why she didn't do certain things. So Alice goes to college for like a year, and I think she becomes a teacher, like a teacher's college. But by the time Lily grows up, she's like in a 5-year university program. She's got more education, she's making more money, and she thinks she's better than her older sister. And she puts Alice down and says Alice is jealous of her. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is possible.
Absolutely. But not in that way of understanding Alice and where she's coming from. She's just jealous of me because I'm younger, because I have everything, because I'm educated. She doesn't think that that was a privilege for her. Mm-hmm. And that some of that came at the cost that Alice was mothering her. Mm-hmm. And along with biological mom. And that Lily got two mothers, as opposed to Alice getting one who was burning out very quickly. Mm-hmm. And that as mom burnt out mentally, psychologically, which she did, she really hit burnout. She went into depression. The mother went into some mental health issues. And Alice picks up a lot of the slack, so that the rest of the siblings, I'll say, grow up where they believe the house is normal and healthy. And this is how everybody grows up. Mm-hmm. because we're also covering for mom and managing mom's symptoms so that mom still looks like it's just very normal. She's just going to the functions and she's having Christmas, Easter, like she's doing everything right. And Alice and certain siblings are doing a ton of the work to keep everything looking like it's a normal, healthy family. And Alice tells Lily all of this, and she sits and looks at me and goes, I'm so confused. Are you sure you're describing my family? And I had to reword it several times, Kelly, to say, well, did you have regular, happy Christmases, Easters? Yeah. Well, that's what we're saying. I don't get it. And I'm saying, that's right. You don't get it because Alice is trying to explain all of the things that had to go on so that it just looked normal to you, to you, to the younger ones.
Did she have any way of verifying that?
I was able to give validations for sure, like to say things like that Alice got married, Alice had her own children.
Yeah.
Like I had to say things to Lily like, you ended up not getting married but living with a partner, having your own children, having two daughters. I was able to give validations so Lily could say, well, shit, that's correct.
No, sorry. My question was more about like, did Lily ever have an opportunity to actually like see what was happening in the background?
Yes, but she didn't want to see it for what it was.
That's more of what I was curious about.
Yeah. So when I, okay, thank you. That goes to another point. So Alice then says, yeah, well, when you and your family come over for Christmas, for Thanksgiving, for all of these events, you show up with buns. You show up with a salad. And Lily goes, yeah, I was great for bringing the salad. Everybody loved my salads. And I said, no, no, Lily. It wasn't that everybody thought you were better than them at salads. Everybody can chop veggies, sweetie. And she looks at me and goes, what? I said, everybody can chop veggies. And I said, the point is that you were allowed, like you stayed in that bubble. And I said, but when you arrived, the turkey was cooking. The dressing was made. The veggies were made. The table was set. The house was clean. All the baking was done. Everything was done. And she goes, yeah. And I said, that's what I'm saying. All of that stuff got done by Alice to help mom. And that went on for decades. And I said, and then Alice is saying that eventually she fatigued and she decided, I'm done. And at that point, Alice, this happens over time, that Alice says things and wants change. I want help and I want this and I want that. And now there's resistance among the younger children, her younger siblings particularly, but also some of the older ones, that nobody wants to take on Alice's role. Nobody wants to have to take care of mom. And now it comes out amongst the siblings that Alice is mean, that Alice is mean to mom, that she is selfish, that she's a bully. She's a bully. This is a big one, Kelly. She's a bully because Alice is trying to keep the family together. So in order to relinquish what she's doing, she really needs other people to pick up those pieces. And when she asks at first and no one wants to do it, she goes back and she does it. Eventually, when she puts her foot down and refuses to do it, now she steps into the role of insisting that other people, I don't know how you want to word that, asking again and again, demanding, doing all of the different things to kind of still have these events, but enforcing or really having conversations with people in the family saying, I'm not doing this. And now she's getting the reputation of being the bully, mean. And the person who navigates that conversation the most is mom. She's the one that actually calls the siblings to say, Alice is just bullying me.
That's not navigating the conversation. That's directing the conversation, like directing the narrative.
Got it.
Navigating to me is like, let's figure out. Let's find out.
Got it.
versus like, I'm going to direct the narrative here.
Perfectly. Oh, thank you. So she directs the conversation with the other children in the family and has and in-laws and grandchildren, nieces, nephews, to be able to have everybody see that Alice is the one that's having a breakdown. Alice is the one with the problem. Everything is wrong with Alice. And it works. Everybody in the family believes that it's her. So they think she has oppositional defiance disorder. So they think she's become defiant. Then it's menopause. She's going through the change. So she's just cranky. She's miserable. She's sweating. She's whatever it is. It's all of the things. So there's constant reasons and excuses given by mom to each and all of the siblings. And there's lots of conversation. There are lots of calls and talks about Alice so that she is alienated. And eventually, over time, she leaves the family. She decides, I can't cope with this. I've tried. I'm out. And Lily makes an attempt to say to Alice, what is wrong with you? Like, I care about you. Why are you leaving the family? And Lily says, or Alice says to her in that last conversation, you don't care about me. You care about the housekeeper and the cook. You care about all of the positions and all of the duties that I was doing. You are afraid as the youngest that it will, or one of the younger ones, that it will fall on you to do all of these things as your older siblings die. But what you're afraid of is that if they don't die and they're still alive, but they refuse to do it, you can't afford for a refusal, like you can't afford for a death. And I said this to Lily, and she just looks at me and she goes, okay, this is the conversation I wanted. She goes, I wanted to know why she talked to me like that. But you can see that Lily is like, okay, we're now at the conversation and I've listened to everything, but now I'm back into my stance of I'm the one in the right. Alice is the one in the wrong. She abandoned me. And so she, this whole conversation we get into with Lily is that she has this big belief that her sister abandoned the family, and in particular, her. How can you do this to me? And I thought you loved me. What about this relationship? Was it all a lie? Were you manipulating me? And so she repeats all of the things that mom has actually said. So mom is the one that has fed all of these conversations, all of these ideas that have festered over all these decades. And Lily and Alice have this conversation where Alice tells the truth, like in all of the steps right back from childhood. And then she says to Lily, Mom, what's Mom's favorite story? And Lily looks at me and she goes, well, I don't know. What's Mom's favorite story, Karen? And like, you tell me. So I said, Alice, what's going on? And she says, I want to say what Mom's favorite story is. Her favorite story is before birth, before my birth. Her favorite story was before she met my dad, how much she loved her job, how much she loved her girlfriends. She had an apartment, how much she loved being single. Her favorite story to tell all of us was about the dancing, the music, the lipstick, the hairstyles, the clothes she wore, the trips that she went on.
The life before the trap.
Yes.
It's interesting, like, the everything that we're talking about, it comes back to the patriarchy. And because we're so conditioned to take everything so personally, right? And mm-hmm. All of psychology is trying to help people understand things aren't personal, even though they feel personal. Mm-hmm. The feelings of abandonment that Lily is talking about, they're real. Yeah. And in a big way, she is being abandoned. It's just that she's not being abandoned for who she is. She's being abandoned in the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. She's being invited out of it, right? Alice is trying to say, I don't want to be a part of these roles that have been put upon me. I don't want to play this role anymore for any person. And mom can't afford for her to not help out because she's saying, I'm not leaving the patriarchy. So you as another woman need to stay here and help make my life more convenient so I don't have to upset the higher ups, meaning the men. Right? And Alice is going, no, I'm not buying into that anymore. And so the fear gets instilled in women by other women, because if you leave and I don't have the courage to leave, then what? And it's heartbreaking. It destroys lives.
Yeah. Thank you for saying all of that. This is a conversation that Alice has to have with Lily.
Yeah, and yet we stay fixated down what we call the content tube of, don't you love me? Why are you doing this to me? And it's like, this is not about you. This is about coming back and saying, all these roles, all these responsibilities to put on one person, not fair. I don't want it. I don't accept it. Are we willing to share this and come back to a community to help facilitate life, mm-hmm. which was what life was before this bullshit, mm-hmm. communal living, mm-hmm. help from neighbors, help from family. Everyone chipped in with their expertise and their resources, and we're not doing it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So thank you. I appreciate all of that. So Alice has this conversation with Lily in the session to say, I'll just say basically what you said in regards to, I love you. I love you. But I didn't want to be in that system. And you were constantly invited out of it. And many times I invited you outside of it. I invited you through the conversations. I invited you in many ways to join me. You declined. And that was your choice. But I wasn't willing to go back in. I was on the outside to get healthy for good, permanently. I was in my growth. I was in my integrity, in all of the things that I was choosing for my life. And I wanted those things for you. I wanted them because I love you. And Lily sat there and looked at me for a good, I'm going to say 30 seconds, which just felt like freaking eternity. But she was stone-faced. She just looked pale. She just looked angry. And I thought it was all at Alice. And I think for at least maybe a hot 10 seconds, it was. And then I started to see a change and a softening in her. And as soon as I saw a little tiniest bit of softening, tears, she just started bawling. And she said, oh my God, and her head was down like in front of me. I could just see the top of her head and I could hear her. And she said to me, oh my God, I came here expecting and demanding her to apologize to me. She said, before the session started, I was screaming at her in my house, apologize to me. And she says, and now I'm the one that needs to apologize to her. And she says, it is destroying me. And I said nothing. I was quiet and I just let her talk because I thought maybe there was maybe more talk. I wasn't quiet in the sense of withholding. I was quiet in the sense of just permitting her to have that. You process, you say what you need to say. And I was quiet. Then she came back up and she sat up and she looked at me and she excused herself. She said, I have to go get Kleenex and I have to go get water. I need to go to the bathroom. So she left. She walked out for a bit. And I sat there and I always have my pen and paper in case more comes through from Alice. And Alice just said to me, write down on the paper, I forgive you and I love you. She had these two sentences. And then, oh my God, it must have been at least a good 5 minutes. I began to wonder, Kelly, if she wasn't coming back like for the last 15 minutes of the session. And if she was just gone and that she was going to let the time run out. And then I was going to have to end the meeting on Zoom. And that was it. And I thought, well, I'm just going to stay. It's her time. So she ended up coming back and we had about, I'd say 10 minutes. And that last 10 minutes conversation with Alice was something that I was so happy to be part of, because Lily sat there and said to Alice, would you be willing to listen to me? And she said, Karen, can I talk to her? Does she hear me? And I said, well, yes, it's a conversation. Like, yes. And she said, okay. She said, I'm sorry. She said, I brought salad. And I said, yeah. She goes, it took me 5 minutes. And I said, yeah. She goes, like, I had to think about that in the washroom. Salad takes 5 fucking minutes. And she says, I didn't even venture into all kinds of wild salads. She says, I made like lettuce, cucumber, tomato, like, and that's 5 minutes. She says, and I kept thinking in the bathroom, did I put onions? Did I buy croutons or did I make croutons? I bought them. God, and I even bought a bag of lettuce. Like, I didn't even chop it up. And she says, so I really went into the fact that when you said that she pointed out that I made lettuce, she says, I was so angry. How dare she make fun of my salad? And she says, but when I went into it, I started realizing that even though I was only asked to do something that was 5 minutes, even at that, I was buying pre-made salads and throwing them in a bowl before I went.
It's not about the fucking salads.
No, but she gets there. It's
about the effort.
That's right. She gets there. She starts to understand as she's sitting on the toilet. That's what she tells me, that she does less and less and less. And that was one of Alice's points.
And here's the other thing. Like, if we're gonna look at effort, okay, we could also shit on Lillian for bringing the most convenient version of a salad. And that would still be a part of that patriarchal belief that it was meant to be homemade, slaved over, poured into, right? Taken her tons of time and energy, been cooked and prepared with love.
Homemade croutons.
When really, if we just want to fucking gather because we actually want to gather, because we like each other, hopefully, buy the most convenient thing. Cook the most convenient thing. Bring the most convenient thing. Yeah. Because it's the gathering that matters. Mm-hmm. It's not about who did more work or who did more prep or who made something homemade and who did it conveniently. It's about connection. Mm-hmm. So all of it keeps us busy fighting over, well, who was right and who was wrong and what was better and what was worse, when really it was about, did we value each other?
Mm-hmm. This is the point that Alice gets to make when she starts to talk about the fucking salad. And Alice is like, okay, wait a minute. And says, Lily, stop, stop. We're still fighting each other instead of fighting the patriarchy. We're still doing it. And I'm dead and you're here talking to me. Stop. And Lily looks at me and she goes, what? And you can see her trying to like wake up. You can see her like, huh? And I said, Lily, are you okay? Like, are you? Because she literally looks confused. And I said, Alice is inviting you out of this patriarchy and you're just further and further in it. And she goes, oh. And so Alice says to her, this is exactly what I was trying to do, was to take you out of every single one of these steps, all of them. I was offering at the time when I was still in the family that nobody needed to cook, that we could order. And that was refused. It needed to be homemade for Thanksgiving, homemade for Christmas. What do you mean we're ordering? That's not a real Christmas. So Alice tries to point out again and again repetitively how much the women in the family are part of the patriarchy and abusive of healthy women as the men in the family that are part of the patriarchy. And that it is all of them. And that is how successful the patriarchy is, period. And that she broke out of it. And that she was inviting her sister to see that today. At the end of the session, Lily says to me, I know you have a podcast. I think you need to take my session and move this into a podcast, and I consent and I want to be part of it. I want to talk to you afterwards. I have the recording. I will send it to you. I will do everything. How many women are in as much freaking fog as me that we are still doing the salad thing and not understanding it's about connection and not understanding how much the patriarchy is still has us in this fog and has us fighting our own sisters. And then at the very end, she says to me, very end of the session, she goes, Karen, can you tell Alice one more thing for me? I'm sorry. She says, I'm so sorry. But she says, will you tell her that as of this moment, I am trying? And I said, well, that's, Alice is thrilled because that was the whole point of all of this part of her life. And that there never was oppositional defiance disorder. She was never a bully. It was never menopause.
No, we used to just call it difficult women.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was never
in line.
Right. She was never a difficult woman. She was never in a bad mood. She was getting healthy.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlos. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.